part of what I'm wondering is, how y'all feeling after the election? What y'all kind of analysis is, and how you think this Biden move is going to impact these things we're talking about around pandemic and protesting and policing and stuff like that?
Well, I'll just say the Democrats would love for us to believe that Trump is the root of all evil. And once you pull that root up, then we can get back to normal. And as many people have alluded to, the normal is what gave us Donald Trump, right? Black Lives Matter erupted during Barack Obama's presidency. Occupy Wall Street erupted during Barack Obama's presidency. And the failure of the Obama administration in two terms to adequately, really substantively respond to the crises that have been created by George W. Bush is what created the conditions for Donald Trump to be president. And so if the Biden administration thinks that they can wax on about bipartisanship and unity and creating reforms on Mitch McConnell's terms or, you know, John Kasich's terms, then they're going to be in for a rude awakening, because I believe that he had about an 8-hour honeymoon that was Saturday night. People were dancing in the streets, and, you know, I'm here in Philly, and it was crazy. I wasn't even downtown. I was, you know, on Germantown Avenue, and, you know, people were literally dancing in the street for about 12 hours. But here's how COVID works. I got the news on my phone. People across the street from me came out on their porch and were popping bottles of champagne. And, you know, we went out and hung out on the strip and came home. And a few hours later, got a email from my kids' daycare that said that basically they would be shutting down for a week because they're two teachers and an administrator who have COVID. Well, one teacher, one administrator, and then another teacher who lives with her mother who got COVID. And so this is how COVID works, is that as much as the political establishment, the economic titans would love to turn the page, they can't. It's the pandemic that is setting the pace of politics and expectation. And so this means that the Biden people are going to either have to do things that they have never done before. They're going to have to, you know, Biden has always been a, on the right of the Democratic Party, a deficit hawk. You know, we can't have deficits. We don't want to spend. But that's exactly what this moment calls for. And I think we have all seen, you know, the long, hot summer has turned into the warm fall, right? I mean, there was an uprising in Philly 2 weeks ago. The National Guard was deployed to Philadelphia 2 weeks ago. So the protests have continued. You know, the election has eclipsed everything, but the organizing, the protests, the anger, the bitterness has not gone away. You know, I don't believe that it will be stuffed in a box and put away so that Joe Biden has time to roll out his agenda. We don't have time. There are more cases in the United States today than there ever have been. The pandemic is raging completely out of control in this country, and we still have this criminal administration in power for another 10 weeks. God knows what will happen in the next 10 weeks with these lunatics at the helm. And so that is a recipe for continued conflict and confrontation. And again, to come back to the book, that is when politics and history is most crucial, because demonstrations just for the sake of demonstrating and demonstrations, you know, on in and of themselves are important, but they're not enough, because at some point, then we have to argue for what we want. We have to make demands. We have to be organized so that we can consistently press for those demands, that we can figure out what has worked and what has not worked in one place or another, and have that impact and change our organizing. And for all of that, it means we need greater conversation, politics, cohesion, And, you know, I think Mark's book, especially when we're talking about the pandemic, which is at the center of everything happening in American society and the globe, that it comes at a critical time when we need to figure out what is our posture in this moment when we have, it's easy when you have evil in the administration. It makes who the enemy is, it makes coming together, it makes all of that easy. But now, when you have this duplicitous, when we go back, I mean, this is the thing about Trump, is that it's unvarnished neoliberalism. The arguments are quick, they're easy, because you just open the newspaper and you've got this buffoon standing there making all the arguments for you, connecting all the dots for you. It's really hard when you've got Joe Biden and the whole apparatus of the Democratic Party telling you one thing while something else is going on, creating this illusion that they actually care about your pain and care about what is happening to you while simultaneously not doing a damn thing about it or not doing enough about it. And so that is a much harder road to hoe, although people learn more about what we're up against in those conditions. We're in for a rough ride, but the posture of defund the police as a bridge to abolition, this is clearly something that the leadership of the Democratic Party has come out all guns blazing in the aftermath of the election. But I also think, I say pandemic in terms of the rescue, what package is going to be pushed through Congress. But connected to that is, of course, Medicare for All. And so the issue with both of those is that we need overwhelming state intervention. And that is something the Republicans have rejected. They have abandoned people who have not received any unemployment or any kind of public intervention since July. These people broke their necks, stopped everything to push a bigot through onto the Supreme Court. And meanwhile, you have people facing eviction, hunger, illness in the country that have been left to their own devices. And so Medicare for All and the response to the pandemic, because it's not just the Republicans who are loath to make those kinds of expenditures, but it's also half the Democratic Party wants to tout its own credentials as reining in spending, is not being the tax and spend liberals of old. And so that has been the conflict with Bernie Sanders throughout, which is Bernie Sanders is like, yes, big government, please, more big government. But, you know, we have big government, of course, for corporate America, and we have big government for the military, but we need big government for people who are actually suffering. But I also think housing, because then you're starting to talk about private property, which, of course, is the lifeblood of American capitalism. And what does it mean to say cancel the rent? Because all these other kind of weird halfway measures are really just it is literally kicking the can down the road. Because to think that, well, we don't have to cancel the rent, we can just keep pushing it off with these moratoria until January. Well, what's about to happen in January? That people who have been unemployed or underemployed for the last 8 months are all of a sudden going to be able to pay 5, 6, 7 months of back rent? No. So debt must end, or we are looking at a cataclysmic human catastrophe. When we are talking about being in the middle of a third wave or a second wave of this deadly pandemic and throwing people into the streets in the months of January and February, I mean, what is happening? And so those issues all confront the caution, conservatism of the Democratic Party. And there's no way to hide. And this is what I mean about the pandemic driving politics. You can't hide from it. You can't turn the page. You can't act as if it's not happening. You can try that, and then you can be Notre Dame and thousands of people can rush the field after the game, okay, but let's check those rates of infection in South Bend, right? But you can't get away from it. It is stuck in the middle of everything. And so these are the issues that call the question as to what the Democratic Party is going to do. And if they do it wrong, 2022 is going to go down as the massacre of the Democratic Party. And so, and that is when the rescue of the Democratic Party, I haven't been convinced. I just, these people, out of their cold, dead hands, they will be grasping this thing until it dies. And so I don't know what that means for us, but I think for our side, we are lacking the kind of organizational apparatus that can allow us to influence public debate and public opinion and to engage on a high level and to bring all of our disparate smaller projects together into a larger organizational force. That's a much bigger question, but these are the kinds of existential realities that I think are animating American politics right now.